Good morning and welcome to the Powers Now teleconference. My name is Eric Frazier and I'm your host of the Powers Now. It's a beautiful day in Southern California, a great day to talk about no trust and like occupant relations with Desiree Patino, president of the National Association of Women REO Brokerages. Thank you for being on the call today and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. Please tell your friends and fellow associates about the Powers Now teleconference. It's a great teleconference, a great opportunity to hear from professionals all over the country. The phrase, the Powers Now, suggests that we maximize our potential for success in business and life when we act on information and opportunities now. The present is our future, because the future is only a reflection of our past decisions to act now. If you're listening for the first time, please go to thepowersnow.com and Facebook us. You know, link up with us on Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn and Twitter. The Powers Now is a series of teleconference meetings designed to empower our real estate agents to sell more homes, expand their business of buyers and sellers, to be well informed about changes in lending and government programs and just about anything you can think of that can impact your business, you, your client, and this industry as a whole. Please email or call in. Leave questions on our comment line at 1-800-261-1634, extension 741. Let us know what you think about the teleconference and how the Powers Now can continue to support you and your business. And we really appreciate the feedback, the suggested topics. We really do. We take it to heart. And we're trying to make this program the very best it can be and providing great information and opportunity for real estate professionals nationwide. So if you're listening to the call for the first time, please email eric.frazier at thepowersnow.com, and we'll add you to the mailing list and make sure that you are made aware of every single event that's coming up every week. And, in fact, this show occurs every single Thursday, same time, and the same telephone numbers. So be sure to look out for that. You can find out information about the show at blogtalkradio.com/thepowersnow. Also at thepowersnow.com, which is a Facebook site. And that way you can check out not only what's coming up, but also listen to past shows. Next week, Marty Rodriguez, broker owner of C21 in the San Gabriel Valley, is going to be talking about her experience in this business. She's been in it for 30 years, folks, and I love sitting down and talking to veterans who've been through every conceivable market, who've experienced every kind of challenge you can imagine being a real estate professional. She's going to talk about how she got started in the business, the five things she learned in the 80s, 90s, and the new millennium, reinventing yourself to education, running a successful real estate operation, and taking her business to the next level. Here's a person who's been in it for 30 years. She is the number one agent in the C21 system, number one team in the United States, and she's talking about taking her business to the next level. I want to know what level that is. That's definitely a call you want to be on next week. Well, today our speaker is Desiree Patino, and Desiree has been with us before. In fact, it was February of this year, February 21st, when she was on the program talking about 2011, the year of the women. So I'm so happy that she's agreed to join us again. She is a founder and president of the National Association of Women REO Brokerages. She is the owner of a leading bi-coastal women-owned REO brokerage called Desiree Patino Enterprises, based in Southern California and also licensed in North Carolina. She's achieved over 10 years of unparalleled service to major banks, major REO banks, financial institutions, and individual clients. Desiree's extensive resume reflects the resources and knowledge necessary to effectively manage high volumes of pre-foreclosures, short sales, and foreclosures. And over the last 10 years, leading publications such as Time Magazine and the Los Angeles Times featured Desiree. In those same years, she won in excess of 150 industry awards, founded the first major Women REO organization, and this year alone authored 6 featured articles, reaching an audience of nearly 90,000 readers. At the helm of her own business, Desiree has mastered every aspect of the REO property management process from cradle to grave. Desiree's experience and expertise allows her to tailor each process to her clients' unique and individual needs, allowing for performance timelines, cost effectiveness, top net returns, resulting in satisfied clients everywhere. Desiree's dedication to the industry is not limited to her business. She's also active in many professional organizations, most notably the National Association of Women REO Brokerages, which Desiree founded in 2009, a pinnacle achievement of Desiree's career. The National Association of Women REO Brokerages embraces the Women-Owned Business designation and is the first and only certifier of women-owned businesses in the distressed service industry. The organization has established a nonprofit community enhancement program to restore public spaces and areas facing an acute foreclosure crisis. Desiree presently resides in Irvine, California, and her husband, with her husband of 20 years, his name is Jay, and their 4 sons, Joshua, Nathaniel, Aristotle, and Odysseus. Great name.
Odysseus.
Okay. Desiree considers herself a fanatic NHL fan, go Anaheim Ducks, is an avid lover of animals and designer attire, and counts the empowerment of women in business as one of her greatest passions in life. Thank you, Desiree, for being with us today on The Power Is Now.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate being here again. Just for clarification, I've been doing this 20 years this year, so I'm not sure how we got off on the 10-year, but 20 years I've been doing this.
20 years. So, and the organization has been around since 2009. 20 years. That's a long time in the business, and you have been just incredibly successful, and I want to explore that success in just a minute. Today, folks, I am dedicating this show to women in real estate. And I'm doing that because on the line with me are my VIP co-host. I have Rochelle Jones out of Keller Williams in Houston, Texas. Adriana Alleman, a broker owner of Florida Dreams, a realty group in Florida. I've got Sandra Johnson, agent with Prudential here in Riverside, California. And Joanna Ruiz, owner of Prestige Real Estate Group, broker here in Fullerton, California. These are my VIP co-hosts, and we're going to have them introduce themselves a little bit later in the program and begin the Q&A with Desiree and I once we get into our discussion and subject. So, again, thank you all for being with us today. And, again, we appreciate those of you who are on the lines. The lines are filling up still. And we appreciate so much everyone supporting the Power Is Now teleconference. And I want to encourage you really to share the news. You know, pass on the blog, the Facebook, the recordings, great information. Last week, Chuck Douglas talked about time management. And I want to encourage you, those of you who struggle with managing your time and just getting things done, you need to listen to last week's call. I promise you, you'll be blessed by it, and you'll be inspired. Well, Desiree, you are an inspiration to a lot of women because of not only of your success in the real estate business in general, but then taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, and really being an advocate for women in business and empowering them to get their fair share of the opportunities that are out there. And, you know, tell me a little bit more about the passion behind the National Association of Women REO Brokerages.
Absolutely, love to. The organization was such the fact that I've been, like I said, 20 years in the business, and it was predominantly run with men out there, and the opportunity for women was such that, you know, you're dealing with foreclosures. It wasn't a very popular subject back in the day 20 years ago. Now everyone knows about, understands about it. A foreclosure REO back in the day, people didn't understand what it was about. So what I decided to do is several years ago is with the longevity of REOs and situation we're in right now with economic development and crunch we're in is that it's going to be around a long time. And we really need to have, as a woman and a mother, and a wife and having four children, we understand the juggling. We understand the emotional impact of going out there. So the organization was set up such that a lot of the foreclosures I found over the 20 years were women who had become single, went through a divorce, were stuck with the children, emotional ties that go with it. And the husband was always gone or, another avenue. So being in the business, I realized very quickly that I was able to deal with the emotional level of the person who I went to the property. I got to deal with, calming them down and being able to relate to them. So with that being said, we went and looked in the federal contract, and the women's movement had started making some peace to it, to where, 10 and a half years ago, we had passed some billing that was going to give some inspiration to women's set-asides and things like that, and finally got peace back in October of last year. So the timing was just perfect as far as the evolution of all this to go after the women business owners and say, let's collectively do something and get out there and make a stance of who we are, what we're about, and we can go over and attack that. So that's hence behind the whole purpose of NAWRB was to get out there and get not just brokerages, but title companies, escrow companies, contractors, attorneys, everything that has to do with default services, and put us together and say, we are here to help and collectively go through there and be on a multitasking and deal with the emotion, because no longer are we a real estate agent or broker or owner. We now have to become the trusted resource. We have to become so many different hats that we have to wear every single day, every single second, especially in this market where things change. So that was the whole focus of NAWRB, to come out there, collectively say what we can do to help you to promote your business. In addition to have them respond back to us. So we have, interactive dialogue every day on our members and our board members to see what's out there, what we can do to promote you as a women business owner to make a difference. As an agent with Coldwell Banker for over a decade and a half, unfortunately me being a woman wasn't good enough. I had to start my own company and develop my own techniques and make a difference with being a woman owner. And that's the whole focus of NAW, is to teach women, but also to have a membership of only 100% women business owners out there.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know that there's so many unique value propositions of your organization. One in particular is helping women to get their minority or women-owned certifications. That's a big piece of what you do, in addition to helping them to understand that they too can do it. They can actually own their own brokerages if they're willing to, get the broker's license first and then, get the support to actually make that happen. And being an owner as opposed to an agent empowers you and opens up just multiple doors of opportunity. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. One of the things is that, like I was mentioning before, when I worked for Coldwell Banker, as an agent, I cannot fill out an application or an endorsement with any company that I'm a women-owned business because, again, the contract is with the brokerage. And in addition to, it's very, very important as an owner of a brokerage is that your contract stays with the company. So, for example, if I were to go get a contract with, say, Freddie or Fannie or Chase or Wells or B of A or anyone, that contract, master listing agreement, is with the brokerage, not with the individual agent, even though the individual agent might be the one that's been doing all the work for, say, 5, 10 years or whatever. So when you leave, that contract stays with that company unless they're willing to give it up and relocate and transfer it, which in today's market is totally different, and most of them don't. So the idea is that you want to be able to allocate yourself as a woman business owner. You want to also be able to allocate that it's your control of what you do and how you do it. One of the biggest problems is that if you're not the owner of your own company and you're not your own brokerage, then the bureaucracy of a corporation can get in the way of you doing REOs. Because as I can attest in my own experience, is that what you did in REOs 2 years ago, 6 months ago, is totally different than what happens this day, very second, because the rules and regulations are changing every single day. And it's unreal keeping up with these changes. And to go back to company owners and say, hey, I need to go talk to you. Can you allow that? And the broker says, we're not set up to do that. How utilities are set up, how you do your cash for keys, how you interact with people in the office, what the person on the phone can say when they call in. If you're not completely isolated from that brokerage, you can have some very serious consequences.
Well, I know a lot of broker owners out there are not too happy with you saying that.
But it's very true. I mean, and you can't allocate, you can't go to Prudential or Coldwell Banker or any of those other unless you're an affiliate that you join up with, and especially if you're under the corporation side of it, the retail side of it, because you can't allocate that you're a woman-owned business, and that's the whole core. The more tools in your toolbox is what you want. So minority-owned, women-owned, HUD-owned, disability, service veteran, all these different things you want to have in your toolkit as certifications that make you a different player than anyone else as a different company owner.
Well, being able to differentiate yourself in the marketplace is so important in marketing, and particularly, I guess, as a woman, you want to be an owner so that you can really separate yourself from the masses of people who are trying to get relationships and what have you. And do you help women actually go into business who want to be, who want to step away? They've got their broker's license. Do you help them actually set up their business? Do you have that service within your organization?
Yes, we do. We have two different parts to it. Actually, we're 100% women-based only owners that can join the company, and it's the entire company joined. It's not just the woman owner or women owner that joined. The entire company joins, okay? And that's what the membership is composed of. We started a program last week called Women with Access. You are not a member of the association, but you are allowed to get the emails, you're allowed to get mentoring programs, you're allowed to have access to NAWRB databases and deal with the different owners. We have a lot of women owners out there that want to mentor women who are just agents, who are thinking of becoming a CPA or thinking about becoming their own business owner, that are a CPA right now but haven't branched out. People who are like that agents, like the lady that's on the call right now is co-hosting, who is an agent, just had a child, and wants to wait to get her broker's license six years down the line so her child's older. These are things to help you what to look out for, why it's so important to have your own brokerage. You know, the fear of owning your own brokerage or starting on your own, even if you're a broker associate, those have to be laid down so you understand what it is involved as far as getting your E&O on your own, as far as setting your own office space up, as far as all those things. We're absolutely here to help that. We're here to help empower women, mainly women business owners, but like I said, with the new network, as far as women with access, we're here to show you the benefits and have special different memberships women owners within the organization that will mentor you. So we have blocks, I set up four of them across the United States that actually have a program to mentoring broker owners who aren't involved in it yet, and also broker associates, and also agents that are part of that would like to become eventually part of the organization and learn. Because unfortunately, with time and money, like power is now, the essence is now. You got to know that timing's everything. That's why in the contract is time is of the essence. So we have a staff here. They're dedicated. Kate is the program manager, executive director here at NAWRB, and his job is to stay in touch with all the federal procurement and options that are out there for women business owners. So and that alludes to helping you that you don't need to follow it on your own. All you do is call up Kate and his staff. He has six people underneath him that do nothing but figure out those opportunities for women business owners out there in the default services.
You know, that is so fantastic. I know to be successful in business, not only do you have to have maybe experience first before you step out there on your own, then you need to get you need to support that experience by great knowledge, and you can get that through aligning yourselves with organizations like yourself and other trade organizations that provide you the support and information. Last time you were with us, you talked about the Year of Women in Business, and this is another avenue of support that you provide, because as busy professionals, we don't really have the time to do all the reading we should read and all the researching we should do. We're too busy working in our business business as opposed to on our business. And so we rely on organizations like this to keep us informed of what's going on. Last time you were on, you talked about the brand new Office of Women and Minorities, and Kate Holman was with you on that call as well. And that was an empowering call, folks. In fact, it is recorded, and we're going to get it on the website so you can listen to it again on Facebook and on Blog Talk Radio. It was a great call, full of information. But why don't you just give us a little bit about that office, that newly formed office, and then we're going to move on into our main subject for the day.
I'm going to have Kate go ahead, if you don't mind. I'm going to have Kate speak about that, if you don't mind. He's
sure.
On the call, right?
Fantastic. Go ahead. Hey, Kate.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for being on the call with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. As you mentioned last time around, we talked a lot about the OMLI, the Office of Minority and Women Inclusion. And last week I spoke on the REO Expo panel, Opportunities for Women in REO, and that was one of the things that we talked a lot about. And there's an interview that you can see on our website where I address some of those issues as well, narov.com. You know, the OMLIs, they were supposed to be set up in January, and, you know, it's slow coming. We can all see in the news that Dodd-Frank is getting a lot of pushback from legislators now. But the offices are up and running at most of those institutions. If anyone is interested in seeing sort of the forefront of how that office is going to look, FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, has been the front runner in setting up their Office of Minority and Women Inclusion. So anybody on the call today or some of our VIP speakers who are with us on the line, you can go to FDIC.gov and find out some information on their OMLI. Probably other institutions are going to be taking a look at the FDIC's efforts to establish that Office for Minority and Women Inclusion, and model theirs in a significant way based on the way FDIC has done it, because, like I said, they've moved the fastest in that. One of the other things that we spoke so much about on that panel at REO Expo was the need for mentoring, and that's why we've moved so aggressively into the Women with Access program. It's something new for us, and it is, you know, geared towards broker associates and agents, because many of those women are interested in becoming broker owners and branching out on their own at some point. It's a great value. It's $195 a year, no monthly fees or anything like that. But it is a way for women to engage with NAWRB, and we can connect you to business owners who have crossed that threshold. One of the core important facts about business ownership is that, particularly for women-owned companies, so few of them cross that $1 million threshold, and many of our members have succeeded in doing that. And a lot of those women are interested in turning around and looking at the next generation of business owners, many of those women who are agents and broker associates today, and in their 5-10 year long-term plans, business ownership is part of that. So, you know, it's something that we take very seriously at NAWRB, which is promoting entrepreneurship among women, promoting business ownership, and not just focusing on business owners, but that next wave of business owners who want to eventually get to where many NAWRB members are today.
Well, that's such great information. And, folks, the website for all of this and more is NAWRB.com. NAWRB.com. I'm the father of four daughters, all in real estate, and so I'm passionate about women succeeding and taking advantage of the great opportunities in real estate. And I'm, you know, this is why this is great that we have women co-hosts with us today. This show today is dedicated to empowering women in real estate. Well, Desiree, I tell you, I could talk to you forever, honestly. I love having you on the call, and we're definitely going to have you back again. So let's dive in into our subject. But, you know, I would be remiss if I did not ask you what the Power Is Now means to you. What does it mean to you in the context of what you do every day as a president of a national association and also as the owner of your own real estate company? What does the Power Is Now mean to you in that context?
I think it really means a lot of different avenues, but as far as the context you're talking about is with, like I mentioned before, the changes are so dynamic that are happening right now. Missed opportunities, time is of the essence. The CAR form here in the state of California has had for decades one whole paragraph that's dedicated to one sentence. time is of the essence.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many contracts or deals that have gone down where agents, buyers, or the like, or sellers, as a matter of fact, on multiple offers, have regretted to not reacting on that time is now, the power is now concept.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to when you're talking about women business owners and you're talking about what is going on in the industry, you have got to know your market. You have got to know everything that's going, and you can't procrastinate. You've got to react instantly on what you're looking at. Analyze what you have, but make sure you do it very efficiently. If that means you got to stay late and get it done, if that means you have to sacrifice something else to make sure the power is now, you've got to do it because of the dynamics that are changing. If you think about one very instance that it really relates to what we're talking about here, is that back in the day, 5 years ago, when administrators used to make a regulation here in real estate, they used to say, hey, we're going to have this new law that we're going to invoke. They would give you a year, year and a half to get that regulation out there so people would understand. Now, those regulations can happen effectively today or tomorrow or happen proactively that should have happened a month ago. For example, 4 years ago when this whole crisis started, how many loans were in the pipeline, you being a lender? 60% of those loans that were in the pipeline went bye-bye because the administrator decided you can't fund this loan because it doesn't meet a certain criteria, even if loan docs were signed, even if the amount of money was allocated. That empowerment of power is now is everything. So my core to everyone that's out there, don't wait to get your broker's license. Don't wait to get your business out there. You've got to react now because that's the whole purpose of NHWRB, of having certificates being issued for in-default services of women business owners, is that we need to react now to what's happening and not wait to become an industry standard that everyone's doing because they're out there targeting it and they're out there putting set-aside for federal government. You need to have your certification, your information now versus later.
Now that's a power is now statement. What a call to action. Fantastic, Desiree. Folks, I hope you heard that. The power is now. So our subject today is know, trust, and like occupant relations. Know your occupant. Be the trusted advisor for distressed properties. Desiree, take us home on what that means to know, trust, and like occupant relations.
The whole training seminar for No Trust and Like has been evolved from one of the conferences. I went back to D.C. I travel back there about six times a year. There's a lady who spoke, and she had came up with the No Trust and Like. I'd love to have the inventor of it, but I'm not. And I took that idea and applied it to my business and applied it to what we do every day. We all have to deal with evictions. We all have to deal with getting to know new clients as far as getting new business relationships. Dealing with agents out there, brokers that are our counterparts or colleagues. So the core of the concept is to know, trust, and like of occupant relations is a specialized training to develop interpersonal skills for the best first impression with occupants. You have body language, personal space, eye contact, appearance, and demeanor are in key in obtaining occupant status, earning their trust, and being a likable local listing broker. And based on that, what we're talking about is the number one key is that 70-80% of all the properties we're getting today across the United States are occupied. That, in here in California, and I know in other states it's even longer, is that can delay your process 6 months up to 3 years. I have a property right now in my brokerage that we've had for 3 years that we can't get those people out of that property. So it's so important that you really get to know that person in that property. And the only way you're going to get to know them is that if they, how do you approach them when you go and knock on the door? Do you sit there and stand in their face? Are you dressed in a suit? Do you drive up in a fancy car? So we have a policy. When you knock on that door, we immediately step back, give them that personal space.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like we're the bank or a police officer or city official.
Mm-hmm.
We come and try to get them to talk to us. And how that means, we look at their yard, we look to see who's there, we look at the neighbors, we try to get an assessment of what's going on so we can try to get some kind of dialogue going on. Once you get to know that person, you see if it's an owner-occupied or if it's a tenant-occupied, then we try to go on to the next level and try to get them to trust us. We want them to get to find out what they know, what, you know, that they understand that, yes, they can ask their friends. Yes, they can ask an attorney. Yes, they can talk to, you know, anyone down the street and have people that they can relate to. Most importantly is that they get to trust you with the information that you have, because every transaction, every client can be different. Every situation can be different. So once we get them to trust us, we want the next step is to like us. Even though they know us, they trust us. If they don't like us, then they're not going to work with us. And that's so important in getting new business relationships. That's so important dealing with occupants. And this is also relative to dealing with your colleagues that are actually selling your properties. If you don't have that relationship with those three components, it's not going to work, and your job is going to be even harder. So the core is going back to occupants. A lot of the companies now, just in the past month, are now selling their properties with them occupied versus them being vacant. So if you get that occupant to know you, trust you, and like you, the objective here is to get them to take care of the property, make it show somewhat decent so when you're going into the property, and also that when they like you, they're going to trust you when you get ready to close the property, that they're willing to either move out or become a tenant and work with the new owner. Mm-hmm. And you can have that relationship, so you can treat it as like a traditional sale versus the amount of a foreclosure. So that's what we try to teach, and we go through a very in-depth program doing that. The next stage is go ahead.
Before you go to the next one, Desiree, I'm thinking now as an agent who is managing REOs, do you have a particular script that you use? I mean, what should you say when you're knocking on the door? Is there, because you're trying to be a trusted advisor, you're trying to get them to trust you, to like you, what should you say? What would be the opening statement? Or do you have in your training some type of scripting that agents can use so that they can be more effective in making a really great first impression? And then, you know, in your bio, you mentioned that you like designer clothes, and you're saying, so don't show up all Gucci'd out, right, St. John. But, you know, how should you dress when you approach people with their homes? And why? Why not be in a suit or a fancy car? What messages are you sending to the client? Can you explore that with us?
Absolutely, because remember, you're a direct link of the bank in their opinion. So if you go in there at Dolce & Gabbana suit and you drive up with a Mercedes or some expensive car or a label that they can relate to, they're going to say, "Huh, you have so much money, I don't need to help you out. I'm going to stay here and live here as long as I can." So you never want to show up with something fancy. What we do is that we have all our inspectors and people that work for us, part of our training, is we have them, we have company shirts, very nicely tailored company shirts that have Desiree Pano Enterprises, Inc. on it, and we say what we do on it. So people can understand that we are a representative of the marketing department for the bank. We are not the bank.
Right.
We are someone that they've hired, but they'll, you know, how many times if someone says, well, I don't trust you, you're the 15th person that's come to my door saying that you work for the bank. So by having a company shirt that's nicely done, that's not over the top, that immediately lets them know that you're there as a company representative, not a direct bank official, but they understand that you're just a broker. You're not there to cause any problems. You're there just to talk to them, okay?
Hmm.
And the first question again, I'm sorry, you had two parts. What was the first one again?
Well, so what do you say? Do you teach any type of scripting? You know, what's a great opening line? You know, kind of like that kind of reminds me of that movie with Will Smith, and he's teaching the guy how to date.
Right. No, we honestly don't. We want the people, we train them on to look for signs. Like, for example, is there a dog in the backyard? Is there a bird that's around? Do they have beautiful plants? Are they into motorcycles? What kind of cars do they have? What kind of architecture is done to the house? We relate to them. I don't want to ever go up there and say, hi, I'm with Desiree Patino's office. I'm here on a representative of the bank. I'd like to offer you some money to have you move or whatever, know your options, whatever the scenario is.
Right.
I like to get people to engage into what they're see. So, for example, if I see a Harley-Davidson car on a thing that's dismantled, oh, I see you're a collector of Harleys, or, oh, this is a beautiful plant. You know, you have a beautiful Pomera in your front. Is that yours?
Hmm.
You want to get personal with them. you never start the conversation off by saying, hi, I'm here with the bank. I got some money I want to give you. I mean, yeah, that'd be a great opening line depending on what you see. But the idea is that you want to ease into the conversation by having some personalization. Like you see a little child, you say, hi, what a really nice outfit you have. Is that your toy? Hey, is your mom or dad around that I could speak to them?
Right.
You know, you've got to, you can never have a canned strip, I believe, because the market's so dynamic in what we're doing. And the environment that you're in, depending on what neighborhood you're in. Obviously, in a really crime-ridden neighborhood that, you know, you're fearful when you walk up to the front door.
Sure.
You're not going to have the same approach that you could have in a well-to-do neighborhood that the guy's so sophisticated that he's going to, you know, stay in the house for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a tailored strip is not going to work. And they're going to get it, you know, how you read it. So you want to personalize what you see, what's around you, and that you can relate to them. So we try to have, you know, weekly meetings with our field inspectors, like you are right now, and let them know, what did you see? What happened? How did they react to you? What did you see that you could relate? So that's what's so important, I believe, is personalizing that space, giving them room to relate, and don't overstep your space, your comments, and how you react to them. So by having a company shirt, by having them dressed with, you know, no fancy jewelry on, just showing them your business card and saying, hi, I'm here. Once you get the personalization out, say, here, I have some great opportunities for you to help you relocate. We have a lot of, you know, we have options on different payments we have for you depending on when you would like to move. We could also help you find another place to rent, because if you're renting here for $1,500 a month, as you know, the market's come down depending on obviously where you're at, what kind of strategy you use. But, hey, I found another place for $1,300 that was going to have new carpet, new paint, that you actually could take this money, save some rent, move, and get into a nicer place for cheaper rent. I mean, why would you say no to that?
No, you wouldn't say no to that. And especially if you have established rapport with that person. These are really great points. And I think what resonates the most with me is that you have just described what I think is kind of foundational to sales. And in reality, we are all in sales. You're having to sell the client on you, that, hey, you can trust me. I'm going to really help you to resolve the situation and perhaps to help you transition. And so somehow you have to establish rapport. And I love the fact that you say, number one, don't violate their space. And I think many people are sensitive about that. Don't stand too close, you know. And, of course, a breath mint would probably help too, right? So, but don't violate their space. And then in addition to that, being observant, you know. Sometimes we talk too much and we need to listen and look more. And I think that's a very good point you make. Looking at the environment, looking at the cars they drive, how the home is, the flowers, the plants, you know, the person hasn't made a payment in 12 months, and they've got an incredible garden, you know?
Exactly. And the occupant, remember, is your client. It doesn't matter if they own it or not, if
right.
they're the former owner or if they're the tenant or if they're a squatter.
Right.
It really doesn't matter what their classification is in that property. You've got to get to know who that person actually is in that property, get them to trust you and like you, because no matter what facet there are, they have the right to be there, whether we agree on that or not. They're in there. So as long as they're in there, you want them to get to know you and
right.
like you and trust you. Bottom line.
And the difference is them moving out in 30 days as opposed to 3 years, right?
That's exactly right. That's right.
Well, that's a great point. Now, the next one is know your selling agents. And how does that come into play?
It's very important that we have it here, and as far as NAWB and DPE, we're very structured in the sense that we transactions, as you know, are very time sensitive these days, and also very time involvement as far as how long it takes to process them, because there's so many more components. When you sold an REO, it used to be as is, whereas, thank you very much, take or leave it, you know, that we're done.
Right.
Now, your disclosures of code violations for city, county redevelopment agencies, your what's going on with their property, title issues, lien issues, you know, we could go on and on and on down the line. So the selling population is not all well-versed in REOs. They don't understand that sometimes, even though it's an REO, it could take 2 months to get it approved as far as an offer approval, that you have MI and uncertainties that you have no control over. So what we have a very policy that we put on broker guidelines on our website, not only for NAWRB, but also for the brokerages, that they understand how my office runs, what's required to work with our office, and to get the office and to get the offer and the transition closed in, you know, very efficient way. So everyone knows their part that has to be done. And that's the whole thing of knowing, trust, and like your selling agents, because if they don't, if they understand the game, they can play the game up front. They know the rules of the game, because it's very important. They don't understand that, you know, we have multiple offers. They have timelines that, you know, some clients ask appraisal to be done 15 days of verbal acceptance, not that of a written acceptance, and it could take 2 weeks to get that written acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you educate your peers, your coworkers, your colleagues in the business, because most of them have not been on your shoes. They want to be your shoes. They think you make a ton of money. They don't understand the involvement, the outlay, everything that goes with it. So the more they know, and that's why we mentor and we help the selling agent understand what we're going through and what our understanding is, because then they can coach the buyer. The more the selling agent knows, the more they can teach their buyer and their lender, because they all think, well, I did this, I've been doing this for 30 years, I did it this way last month, why can't I do it today? The rules change. You know, I'm the courier. I'm not the one who makes the rule. I'm just the one that says I'm to transfer that information to you. So that's why it's so important that you get to know. And also, you know and I know as, you know, in the field, is that that agent, it, you know, when the buyers come and look at the property, they're going to say when they're in the property, I have these five houses I'm interested in. This agent, I love working with that office. They're really good. They're really great. Next office, oh, this agent's really hard to get through to and they're not working so well. That buyer is going to take that information. Oh, well, it's debatable between houses. I'm going to go with that agent that really has a good following. That's easy. That's going to get it through. And they're going to get excited. You know, just little hints that the agent can say are going to make a difference. So you want that agent to come back and show you inventory over and over and over again, because that's a good agent. That brokers, everyone in there's friendly. They talk to them, and they work cohesively, and we can get our deals done and gone through. That's very, very important. So know, like, and trust your selling target area or your agents that are selling your houses.
Desiree, do you think that selling agents really underestimate the impact of how they conduct themselves with listing agents? They really don't know that they may be killing their next deal, not only the current deal, but even the next deal, if they're not being responsive and just playing by the rules. Do you think they underestimate their impact?
Oh, that's a twofold question. I definitely feel that they, you know, it depends on your client. Some clients are much more liberal than others. It depends on who you get. But honestly, I believe that, yes, they can very much impact the deal. You know, we treat every agent that comes in the office the same, and we try to give them, you know, guidelines, and we have them sign off saying that they read the guidelines. And unfortunately, halfway through the transaction, we find out that they haven't read it, and they just signed it, just sign another piece of paper. And what happens is that you're halfway through the transaction and they haven't met their deadline, we have to present that to the seller and say, you know what, they haven't done their job. Are you going to cancel the deal? The notice to perform contract addendum is used heavily now. And, you know, if they're not doing their job, the poor person who loses is the buyer because the lender or the agent is not fulfilling. So does it lose on the next transaction? In our office, absolutely not, but hopefully they've been educated that the next deal, that they understand the importance of it and give it weight and merit, that they understand that when we say that our client says it has to be done in 10 days, they understand it has to be done in 10 days.
Right.
And they follow through. So we are our goal is to teach, our goal is to communicate, because, you know, every agent that the listing broker did the same thing, it would be easier, because we have a policy here. We try to answer every single phone call. Yes, we have an automated system, but I believe in having responsible interaction, personal skills, one-to-one. We've removed ourselves from that. Oh, let me talk to someone. At my office, after 6 o'clock, you want to call and talk to Desiree Patino, you will get Desiree Patino on the phone, and I will talk to you as long as I have time. And usually I have some people call and talk to me for an hour or two at night. They just want to talk about the transaction and,
right,
and what's going on. So that is very, very important.
Well, I think also it's important that you are here. You're basically setting the standard. It's interesting to note that on your website are the rules of engagement. And so as a listing agent, someone making an offer on one of your properties, you have on your website what they need to know, when they need to do it, you know, what the time frames are. Everything is there, so there's no question as to how you roll, you know, at Desiree Patino Enterprises, right?
Yeah, it cuts down a lot of questions, and it hopefully gets everyone, you know, you got the offer accepted. You know, some of my clients literally have 24 hours. You have to get the entire contract back to us of all 46 pages.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they have to be done perfect. Every you can't submit a contract package back unless every initial, every signature, every date, every disclosure is there exactly how they want it.
Right.
And a lot of agents say, well, you know what? My client's out of town. They're flying out. They did, you know, this or that. It's done. You know, there's nothing I can do. So as long as they know, and part of our counteroffer when we send out, this is your timeline. If this gets accepted, you must have your contract back in 24 hours, all signed, sealed, and delivered. If not, you run the risk of having your offer canceled, and we move on to another buyer.
Right, right. Well, there are rules, and there are those who play by the rules and who win, and those who play not, who do not play by the rules and lose. So it's how the world turns. Let's talk about know the lenders. And I'm a little scared of this one.
You're doing a good job, Eric.
Okay.
But know your lenders. You've got to know, trust, and like your lender.
Right.
If I have a lender that's going to tell me that that's not going to tell me they're going to be out of town for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
not good, because they've got to be available to. But more importantly, my lenders that I deal with and the lenders that the agents bring their offers in on,
mm-hmm.
they've got to make sure that lender is doing the service to who? That buyer.
That's right.
That buyer is not being told that they can buy a house, that they're spending their appraisal fees, they're spending their inspection home time fees, the emotion of buying that home and that dream factor of having that dream ownership of having your own property that you call home. And when the lender was not an underwriter, I want every loan officer to be a full-fledged underwriter. I personally believe if every loan officer who put a pre-qual letter out there was to sign off and know their loan product that they have to offer,
right.
and could say that, yes, this is already like a pre-approved, 100% guaranteed loan kind of scenario, because they knew the guidelines and they sat down and talked to that person, our fallout rate, in my personal opinion, would be so low.
Right.
Because the only thing you would have left is, A, did the title get cleared that the seller can sell, or B, did the buyer lose their job? Because, you know, that's a huge factor also to nail an escrow. That's so important that if you knew that the buyer was 100% got their ducks in a row before we went out looking at houses and had that loan officer know their loan product specific to their company or mortgage broker, whatever they're dealing,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be huge. And that's why I say, know the lenders. Loan officers need to be underwriter. Period, paragraph. No beating around the bush.
Yeah. You know, with the changes that have taken place in the industry, both in real estate and lending, today, and this is in both cases, in real estate, those who are still active and very successful and making money and doing things right, they are the survivors, and they are perhaps the most experienced people. Those who didn't have experience, weren't really serious, are not in the business anymore. And that's both on the real estate side and also on the lending side. I totally agree that loan consultants need to be underwriters. Now, that would be the fox guarding the hen house. We can't let the loan consultants actually approve loans, but they need to know the underwriting guidelines as well as the underwriter, so that when we issue pre-approvals, they will stand the test of the underwriter and go through smoothly. And in the cases where that doesn't happen, it is because of a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding, or not just being current. And I tell you, some of the greatest challenges for all banks right now is keeping up with the changes that take place. Sometimes even the best efforts aren't good enough when you're dealing in an environment where change seems to be never ending. But, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for a shameless plug for Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. the close on time guarantee kind of covers that, you know, because there are no perfect, you know, loan consultants. There's only perfect realtors. We all know that, right? Realtors and realtors. There are no perfect loan consultants. So having a guarantee that if we fail to close a transaction on time and it's our fault, we made the mistake, that kind of thing, Wells Fargo will make the client's first month's payment because they'll figure out a way to get the deal closed. It may be late, and as a result of that, Wells Fargo guarantees to make the client's first month's payment. And so that's some added protection to the loan consultant who is well-meaning and has done a great job, but there may be, you know, there may be things that occur that were oversights or weren't caught or something of that nature that creates a delay. The close-on guarantee covers that. But it's no excuse having even a guarantee not to know your products and programs and be able to commit to a real estate professional like yourself, Desiree, that this is a great borrower, he's pre-approved, there will be no problems in closing the transaction. And I think the last thing any lender wants to do is to upset a realtor, especially a realtor who's a president of the National Association of Women RPO Brokers.
The biggest thing, I'm sure the other VIP guests on the line with us mm-hmm. will contest to, is that it's very, very important, communication. I mean, we're all not perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have, you know, agendas that we didn't know about it because the client didn't tell us or the documentation we thought we had, we didn't have. I mean, things happen. Mm-hmm. But it's always about disclosure, 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 and that's about the information. As soon as you find something that's not going down the way it should go down, instead of trying to fix it on your own or hiding it or not responding to someone for a week or two, you've got to immediately bring it to the forefront because a quality agent is not going to say, well, you're canceled, too bad, delay. They're going to go, okay, let's see what I can do. Do I have other things in my toolkit that maybe the seller can work around?
Right.
Can I do this object? Can I do that?
Right.
And the more information that we have, the more that the listing broker can help hopefully save the deal. Because trust me, with the profit margins everyone has right now, we don't want to go back and resell those properties.
Right.
But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're protecting our client's best interest, that if it's really a buyer that can't qualify to purchase this home and it's not going to go anywhere, that we bust it out now and not wait 3 weeks when no one's returning our phone calls and we know we have a dead game.
Right. No, that's a great advice, and it's so important. Communication is everything. You know, isn't communication everything in life in general, whether it be, you know, working agent, buyer, you know, seller's agent, the listing agent, husband, wife, father, son, you know, communication is truly, great communication is the foundation to every great transaction and great relationship. Desiree, this has been just fabulous information. You never disappoint, and that's why I'm always happy to have you on. Before I move to our VIPs to ask questions, I want people to have an understanding of kind of where you're coming from, because you're not just talking the talk. You talk the talk and walk the walk. Give us an idea of the number of transactions, and we talked about this the last time you were on the call. I just want you to do it again. You know, how many transactions you closed in 2010? Where are you at in 2011? You do a lot of business. Tell us about it.
You know, I do. You know, I average between 400 to 450 a year. This year we're on target, close to that. But as everyone knows, the market has come down. The number of REOs and the short sales picking up steam. I just read a statistics about short sales with B of A, for example. B of A did 9,000 short sales last month, and they did only 7,000 REOs. So as we all been predicting for several months now, in fact, over a year, that the short sales are taking over, the good news is that they're cutting down the time frame and getting it done. So the volume that I do, you know, is we're focusing not just on the volume of REOs that we're doing now or short sales. We're focusing on a huge push right now is actually going and training in all different aspects. We're trying to get code enforcement people. We're trying to get homeowners. We're trying to get the banks and the lending institutions. And we're trying to get the owners, whether that the actual note holder or the owners, to communicate. So our whole focus at NAWRB is just get out there and train, 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 communicate, communicate, communicate. Because if you think about the no trust and like, what is that? Communication.
Right.
So our whole core is for DPE and for NAWRB is to get out there and say, hey, what is DPE doing? what is NAWRB, if I could speak, and all the different members that are part of it, what their ideas are, and we send out blasts and saying, this is what everyone's doing. Hopefully you can pick something up from it and mentor the people out there. And that's what's so positive of what we've got going here, you know, in the realm of what's going on.
Sure.
And as far as and that's where we need to get going, is that get everyone involved and do something. I mean, the biggest thing that I can say is that all the clients that I've spoken to, that I work with, that I'm engaging new clients that are calling us up on a regular basis saying, we want your organization, the diversity is increasing our diversity. We need to have your membership now. What can we do to connect the two and make it happen?
Right.
Is that they want brokerages that are engaged in their community somehow, some way, whether that be doing nonprofits, because NAWRB has a community enhancement nonprofit program that DPE has pledged for 2011. Up to $100, 5% up to $100 of every single property that DPE sells will be given to that city that the property resides in that it gets sold to, that we will donate to the local park to have it restored and get it back into like a brand new park. You know, carpet. We call it the carpet paint appliance scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's new seed, new sand, paint the equipment, get some hardscape in there, get some parks, picnic tables, benches, those kind of things. So we've made a commitment for DPE for 2011 to $100 per property to donate to that city. And we're trying to get every other company to match us, whether it be the new lender, whether it be Wells Fargo, whether it be the seller, whether it be lender, escrow companies, title companies, selling brokerages, to match DPE's commitment to help tell that homeowner, hey, we're here to not only invest in selling the house, we're here to invest in your neighborhood, so hopefully other organizations across the United States will pick up the same idea, and we can go in there and do something that the city and the municipalities can't do because they have budget cuts all across the board.
You know, Desiree, this is why you're so successful. I mean, it's not just about the money for you. It's about community. It's about empowering women. It's about family. It's about training. It's about education. I think you need to hire me as your PR man. I can sell you. You know, the other thing is important, what you're saying, is that you are making a personal commitment. DPE is Desiree Patineau Enterprises. So these are your listings, and you're donating $100 to the cities in which these properties are, and then you're getting all the vendors to match that. I mean, it's a windfall for the city, and all cities right now, including our state, is strapped for cash. So to do something like that, I think, speaks volumes to your clients who are doing business with you, who are giving you assets, to those who follow you and your membership. It just speaks volume. One other question before we engage our VIP co-host. You know, you're doing a lot of transactions, and I think that there are probably many agents listening to this call right now said, if I was doing 400 or more REOs a year, I'd be looking at retirement and not anything else. But are you actually focused on short sales? Is that a part of your business too, or is your focus just on REO?
No, our business is definitely on short sales too. I've done them for probably about 17 years now, believe it or not, back in the day where 2005 and 6 when the market was just so hot. I actually did short sales during that time too, which
mm-hmm.
is you wouldn't believe it. Those are actually out there. But no, we have a division that does short sales. And one of the things, Keys, we did before we launched and went crazy this past year and doing short sales, because the dynamics of short sales have changed so radically as far as disclosures. Whether you here in California, whether you can have the date has to be changed once you have new paperwork that's been delivered to the actual current owner on that property, whether it's in foreclosure, where that status is in the foreclosure, you actually have to cancel the escrow and redate and resell the whole property back to them as far as the new buyer that's buying it, that if you're in escrow with. So we actually had a legal department set up all the disclosures and all the claims that went with it. That's all been taken care of, so we did a huge marketing campaign that we're in the process of right now putting together that's going to address short sales in all the communities that we sell a fair amount of properties in, to help to where it doesn't become an REO, it doesn't become an issue, we don't get the code violations, and actually take care of the short sales. But more importantly, we're addressing the problem before it becomes a short sale. We actually are working with a lot of different nonprofits like Neighborhood Works America, and some of the other programs are trying to get these homeowners that have potential to stay in their properties, that have a job, that are just going through a lull in their period or have medical bills or whatever, trying to get them to do their short, trying to get to do their loan mods and everything else they got going. And then if that doesn't work, dealing with the short sales on top of it and that and go from there. So we're trying to work on a very, very front end, because goodwill is always good for everyone, and it just is a win-win situation. So we actually have a hotline that you can call in and go to our website that links you to HUD.gov that has all the different nonprofits that are out there that are supported by Congress that are free to everyone go out there and do their loan mods that they need to get done and have a description of what they got going on.
Well, Desiree, we need to have another call where we talk about how to run your real estate business, how to diversify it, to do short sales and traditional sales and REOs. A couple of weeks ago, we had Todd Mobroton, COO of ResNet, and he talked about, you know, the agent today needs to be a default specialist. They need to be a real estate specialist. They need to be an expert in everything so that we can truly maximize our opportunities. And, of course, ResNet is a great platform to be able to do it all. And that was a great call, folks. If you missed it, you can catch it on blogtalkradio.com/The Power Is Now. Now, for those of you who are on Blog Talk Radio, if you want to ask a question, just press 1 on your phone dial, and our screener will come on the line, ask you your name and the state you're calling from and the company you're with, and then we'll bring you on the line. But right now, we're going to start with our VIP co-host. And first on the list is Rochelle Jones. Rochelle, thank you for joining us from the great state of Texas.
Thank you, Eric. And I'm going to give you another shameless plug here, too, because you certainly deserve everyone that you afforded. I know Desiree mentioned, you know your lenders, and not just know your lenders, partner with them and understand that it is a cooperative relationship, and you do such a good job with that. You know, with I won't say nothing expected in return, because I would hope that as business professionals we would expect to help each other.
Right.
That certainly is what your call does, and your expertise, your team is dynamic, and you really are a value add to the real estate community. And as you said, I'm in Houston, Texas, but I ordinarily would fright at the thought of sending one of my clients' loans across state lines. But with your team, I'm never afraid of that, and I think you do a phenomenal job with that.
Thank you, Rochelle.
So there's my you could put me a check in the mail. I'm kidding. it was all sincere. And I do want to thank Desiree as well, because it's so great to have industry leaders, pioneers, and experts that share and indulge information that make us better at what we do. And I was the young lady that she was referring to with the 3-year-old in it, and I'm captivating and listening, saying, okay, you know I'm still going to get my broker's license, but I know that my timing just is not right. Mm-hmm. And I love that she circled back and said the preparation, the time of preparation, because for me, I'm anal retentive, and if I don't go at it with a full blow steam ahead,
right,
it means that I failed that. And if you're not ready for that, you need to understand that, and you need to understand what preparation is to get you there, because very easily I could have opened up a shop and said that, you know, I'm going to do this. And I, you know, have had people say, if you're going to do REO, you need to be your own broker. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that no matter what entity or industry you work in, there's got to be that work-life balance also.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to choose to be a better mom than I am anything else.
Right.
And so for that reason, it's deferred. But I love what Desiree is mentioning and saying, you know, get prepared. And I use an acronym of what I call PAID, and this is how we get paid. And it's preparation, attitude, intelligence, and delivery.
I love that. Paid. I want to get paid.
Let's get paid.
Preparation. Okay. That's meant preparation. I'm writing this down. Attitude.
Intelligence. And delivery.
And delivery.
The attitude is, how am I embracing it? And I know you had asked, Desiree, what does the power of now mean to you? And when you ask that question, again, I have a 3-year-old, so I talk in terms of Barney, Dora, and everything else in between. But she loves to sing this song, I Like to Move It, right? Everybody
right.
knows this song. I Like to Move It.
Right.
And that's what it means to me. You got to move it. You got to embrace what's going on. You got to take the bull by the horns, and you have to ride that bull. And that's what your attitude is about, you know, accepting it for what it is. This market, we can call it more than shift. We can call it just shaken. And you have to go with it if you plan on surviving it.
Right, right. Well, Rochelle, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, your company, so they can hear where all this wisdom is coming from.
Well, I'm a proud Keller Williams agent out of Houston, Texas, and I have served many facets on the REO side. I've worked, you know, as a buyer's agent, as a listing agent. I've done consulting because prior to real estate, my background was in organizational design and development as well as training. So I really can say that I've done everything from vacuuming the floors to hanging the blinds and dusting off everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a phenomenal industry, and not just REO, but being a part of this real estate industry right now at a time where people believe we don't have a market, and being able to surpass that and say not only do we have a market, but it's the right market for everyone. And I'm excited to be a part of it. I love the wisdom that's shared from fellow agents and brokers alike, mortgage professionals. And I think it's just a time about the power being now. What are
right.
you going to do with it? And, you know, what do you want it to do for you?
Well, that's awesome, Rochelle. We're going to come back to you in just a second and see if you have a question for Desiree. We're going to move now to Adriana Alleman, MBA broker owner out of Florida. Florida Dreams, in fact, is called Florida Dreams Realty Group. Adriana, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the call. This is a real pleasure. I've known Eric Fraser for quite some time now, and I can say that he's one of the most eloquent and skilled individuals in the industry. And being in the other side of the country, I'm not really afraid either, like Rochelle was saying, to give any loans to Eric Fraser. Him and his team, they're very professional, and they will deliver the promises. So I'm really excited about this call. I also appreciate Desiree very much. I had the privilege to do a report on her session on the recent Rio Max Summit in Palm Springs. So we did enjoy that very much. Like you said, I'm the broker owner of Florida Dreams Realty Group. I've been in the real estate industry for the last 10 years. Our offices are in Orlando, and we mainly cover the Central Florida region. We specialize in REOs, short sales, regular sales. We are very recognized in our local market, especially in the Hispanic Latino community. Since we have a radio program that we had for the last 7 years on an AM station twice a week for 30 minutes, and we use that radio program to offer free counseling on real estate to our local community, and of course we also utilize the program to market our services and properties. I don't know if you all knew, but Orlando is the second largest Puerto Rican community after New York. So the Spanish comes in very handy here.
Sure.
And in tune with this call, we're also very proud to say that we're a certified woman minority business enterprise.
Well, congratulations. Now, are you a member of Desiree's organization?
I joined to be like the new program that she said before that you do
well,
the mentoring. Yes, for that. And I'm not certified yet on her organization, but I'm looking forward to get one of those certifications.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on the call, Adriana. Adriana. Let's see here. Sandra Johnson with Prudential. Sandra, thanks for being on the call today. Tell us a little about yourself and your comments.
Well, you know, I'm kind of the new kid on the block, so it seems. I've been in the business for 7 years, and most of that has been in REO, which I enjoy so much. It's taught me so much about real estate, and a lot of people, when I first got into the business, because I came out of the corporate world, working as a human resources manager for 15 years for a major retailer, and people told me I was crazy. They said, "Are you out of your mind?" And I said, "No, this is the time. This is, you know, speaking of the powers now, at that time the power was now for me." And it's been wonderful ever since I've been in it, and I definitely do want to become a broker. I've kind of put it off just because I'm still kind of new in this business, and I wanted to really learn it, get my feet completely wet, so that I can jump into becoming my own broker. So that is my goal in this business. But I've enjoyed real estate, and it's just been the best thing for me. I put it off for years. I've wanted to do this since I actually graduated from college, and I should have actually got into it then, so that I could have that 20-year background like the rest of you. But again, this has just been a fabulous business for me. And again, Eric, you know, you've just you've been wonderful. I've been on your calls before, and this is just the perfect opportunity for us agents to really learn and educate ourselves. And Desiree, you are just phenomenal, and I definitely want to join your organization. It's just it just sounds so exciting and something that I think we as women really should think about and be serious about becoming a part of. So I just appreciate your being on here today and giving us all the wonderful information. It's just been great, and thank you for having me here.
Well, you're welcome, Sandra, and I want to encourage you because your feet are more than just wet. You're knee-deep in this if you've been in this 7 years. Time to get that license now. Wouldn't you agree with that, Desiree?
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for the compliment. But, yeah, as back to the scenario, power is now. Got to do it.
Now, next on the in line is Joanna Ruiz, the broker owner for Prestige Real Estate Group. Joanna, thanks for being on the call.
Thank you, Eric, for having me on this call. And like Sandra was saying, I'm also the new kid on the block. I've been in the real estate business for about 5 years. And just in the last 2 years, I became a broker owner of Prestige Real Estate Group. And basically, these last 3 years have been a roller coaster. I specialize primarily in the default industry, which means 98% of my current listings right now are in some stage of the foreclosure process.
Mm.
I do believe in preventative measures, so we do several door-knocking campaigns. We're very involved with the community. We're looking to set up seminars. And for this reason, I did go ahead and take extensive amounts of time and intensive training from both a former loss mitigator and with up to 20 years of experience, and it's been a very exciting time for me. I'm very passionate about women taking opportunities and also seeing that women are being empowered within real estate. So I thank you, and I thank Desiree for this for being on this call with you.
Well, you're welcome, and I, too, appreciate Desiree. This show, again, is dedicated to women in real estate. And, Rochelle, we're going to go back to you and have you ask the first question for Desiree.
Great.
And her very comprehensive presentation.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric. Desiree, I know at the beginning of your presentation you talked about basically the partnership that you have with the homeowners and your approach. And I think that it's really great because it's, I don't want to say a soft approach, but it's a welcomed approach to the homeowner. At what point do you draw the line in the sand and say, okay, we've got to take a new approach? And what's your level two to that?
All right. Great question.
As far as draw this line in the sand, what are you referring to? Because you mentioned homeowners, the occupant, because a lot of times that unfortunately we'll have an owner actually live there and then they'll have their relatives or friends or rent out rooms. So when you talk about that line in the sand, are you talking about when we change because they've been leading me on? Define it a little bit better on the question.
Sure, sure. Thanks for asking for that. And I know that there's probably a twofold question there. And I know some of it may be regulated by state, depending on what your state legislation is in regards to Tennessee and things of that nature. But let's say that, you know, there's a tenant or an occupant. Today's tenants, whether it's a previous homeowner or an actual bona fide tenant, have become savvy. They see the news that someone got $10,000 for cash or keys, and they understand how to milk it. So at what point do you say, you know what, my true client here is the bank that I represent? And at what point, like, what's that level two? Because the first approach, what I hear, is let's partner to, you know, let me give you information. Let's see, you know what's going on here. And so at what point do you and your team take it to level two? And then tell me what that transition is like.
Okay, yeah, here in California, it's definitely different because most of the people here are pretty savvy and they understand what's going on. When they came out, Sheila Blair, I believe it was, that came out and offered that she wanted a $21,000 cash for keys relocation assistance that she was proposing, if you could imagine that. So when you have people come up, we actually go knock on doors and we'll have people open the door and say, are you here to give me $10,000? Exactly what you're talking about. I look at it this way. As much as savvy as that occupant is, no matter who they are, there's a burn rate. And a burn rate is, if you want, as a holding rate, however you want to classify it, but it's actually called in the real estate terminology and the lending institution, it's called a burn rate. And the burn rate can be up to $1,000 a day. And if you think about that number, it's not only the people that the carrying cost of the actual loan itself. It's all the people that are involved, whether it has MI, whether it's doing personal property, whether it's dealing with the vendors, whether it's dealing with your office, whether it's dealing with their office. And you average about, the statistics I heard were about 20 people are involved in every property. So if you take that number of having a burn rate, and these are not multi-million dollar homes, these are just average everyday properties that are out there with a burn rate of up to $1,000 a day. And yeah, they might be getting $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 asking for that amount. I've got to look back and sit there and say, even though it might be a squatter who just moved in yesterday and you know they were illegally placed in there, or they broke in, you know, broke into the property because they heard it was a trustee sale, or just like yesterday had properties that were found out that were advertised on Craigslist, literally had my name saying, if you see Desiree Patton Enterprises Inc. sign on the property, we fired her as our broker, and we are now marketing on ourselves. So we're here to rent it. So don't worry about it. Don't go near the property because we have security cameras everywhere. So please send us your information and your check deposit to such and such, and we'll process you.
Wow.
So when you have that, yeah, exactly. Wow. And I was like freaking out. I didn't say the word fire, but she's no longer a realtor. They were very cute about it. But anyway, the core of what I'm trying to say is that keep in mind, no matter what's going on, if it's truly an REO now, and not in the foreclosure process. It's already been foreclosed on. The end result is to get that asset sold. However that asset is to be sold, with them in the property or them out of the property. And a lot of the clients now are selling with the tenants in the property or occupants in the property. So if you can work some kind of relationship with them, and even though it goes against every grain in your body, that you're like, you know they're taking advantage of the situation, step back and say, you know what, it's not your money. Yes, you work for the client. Yes, you want to go. But if you have a property and you know they're getting an extra 30 or 60 days and they're asking for an extra $3,000 or $4,000, what is that $60,000, 60 days worth versus that extra $3,000 or $4,000? And that's what you mentally got to keep in perspective, that the end result and not what you know is they're taking advantage of it and you're trying to protect them. What is the total objective here? And that's when we got to keep our distance and say, you know what, this is a business. I need to do this right for my client. It is a business, but at the same time, you want to do what's right for the occupant, too, to make sure it's a win-win situation for everyone. And obviously, you have those isolated cases to where you know they're taking advantage of the situation, and you know they're going to be there 30 years, and you know this is just not going anywhere. And those isolated cases, you just say, you know what, thank you very much. I've tried. There's nothing more I can do. You give it back to the client, and you just say, okay. But we never give up because we still go out there every week, and we still try to get them to say, hey, please, we're here to help you. But when they've utilized the system for 2 years and lived there rent-free those entire 2 years, kind of tough to convince them to, you know, engage with us and say, you know, it's time to move.
Well, that's a pretty comprehensive response, and so if I understand this right, DEFCON 2, you know, taking it to the next level is really just getting even more creative, still working the relationship and find a way to get it sold no matter what because of the burn rate and all the other factors involved. What do you think about that, Rochelle?
You know, it was really good. Thank you for answering that. And I often revert immediately to, this is my client. I have to protect my client.
Right.
And I was recently called a colorful name, and I had to think about whether or not that was appropriate. It probably was, mm-hmm. but I had to think about, okay, this is my client, and I've got an asset to protect, and, you know, we've gone past, you know, phase two of NICE.
Right.
Now we need to move to let's get real.
Right, right. Hmm.
The most important thing I can say is that you've got to let not your emotion get involved to it. So if my crew is starting to get emotional involved and I'm starting to get emotional, because trust me, you deal with something so long, you just want to you've got to take a step back. You've got to take a walk outside. You've got to say, you know what, let me end this conversation now and we'll continue it later. Because when you know someone's just pushing, like you said, they start saying things. They start saying derogatory things about you, your company, what you do, what your involvement is. And you can't win everyone. And you just
right.
sit there and say, you know what, And that's when you turn over to an attorney, because you don't want to get yourself the wrong place, the wrong time, and say the wrong thing. So
Sure. You've
got to be able to take control of yourself and of your staff to make sure that you don't cross that line and just say, you know what, thank you, we've tried. I've exhausted all avenues that I can think of. I need to turn you over to the attorney, and that's where we're at.
Absolutely.
There's only thing you can do with it.
Great question, Rochelle. We're going to next move to Adriana. And before you start, Adriana, I want to ask my VIP co-host to put their phones on mute. I'm hearing some multitasking going on. What's so great about this teleconference is that you could be still working and doing everything else you got to handle and take advantage of the great information that we're putting forth every week. Adriana, do you have a question for the great Desiree Patino?
Yeah, of course I do. I have two questions, actually, but they're all related. And number one will be, I know that certifying a business as diverse owned doesn't guarantee new business. However, it allows you to be positioned and position your company and have a competitive advantage over your competitors. Having that in mind, are there any specific certifications that you will recommend, or with so many certifications available on the marketplace, is there any criteria that you will look for on a certification? That would be number one. And then number two, one of the certifications that you mentioned at the beginning of the show is called a HubZone certification. Can you define for us and for our listeners what a HubZone means?
Great question.
Okay. The first question, I apologize, the phone was breaking up on your end. Say that again. You're an agent, or the company is a woman-owned business, because you had your WeBank, your women business owner certified?
Well, I was just mainly asking for the listeners. Having a certification doesn't guarantee new business, but it allows you to have a competitive advantage. Thinking about that, is there any specific certifications that you will recommend that business owners get, or if there is so many options in the marketplace, is there any specific criteria that they need to look for when they want to get a certification?
Yeah.
Excellent question. NAWRB does offer its own certification. It's the only certification that's in the industry-specific default services. The reason we started this last year is that we ourselves are WeBank certified, which is a private entity. They do the most certifications in the United States, but they're not real estate-specific. They certify every woman business owner company out there that wants to have third-party private certification that engages them. And when we went through our certification process with them, the rules of engagement with the women business owner in real estate really didn't apply to what they were doing, and how I felt personally anyway. And it became such that the women in real estate, it has to be women-owned and managed, okay? And that managed is a really key component, because you can have a woman business owner and actually a woman doesn't do anything as far as the day-to-day operations. In my DPE operations, I know about every single property. I know what stage it's at. I know what's going on with that property. I'm what they call a working broker. I know what's going on versus when I'm out in some place having a wonderful time on vacation. So that is very important. Now, the problem is there is no certification out there for women business owners that's accepted by every entity out there, regardless. The federal government has its own certification program, but all you have to do is register. There's no documents. There's nothing you have to supply to them. And you do that through the CCNR and ORCA. That you just go up and say, hey, I check a box. I'm a woman-owned company. You put your profile out on your ORCA system, and you're there. Then you have city, county, and state certification. You have utility certification. You have SBA certification. You have third-party certification. You have NAWRB certification now. So there's so many different women certifications out there, and they're not cross-trained applicable certifications out there. So you really got to know what your target market is and what you're doing. NAWRB is accepted by several different entities, but not all. But some don't even ask for who you're certified by. They just ask, are you women certified, and they say yes. And they have other checkboxes. Some have pull-downs that have, you know, various lists to go on to. So you really got to know what you're doing. But the most important thing is everyone to understand that certification is not a two-day process. A typical certification takes 3 to 6 months to get done. You have to supply endless amount of documentation to prove that you are a woman-owned business. In addition to that, in NAWRB, we do the managing side. You've got to prove that you're actually running that organization, or women are running that organization 51% or more, that you're actually engaging and not just signing the checks and that's all you do. Okay? So that is very important with that. And your second question was, sorry, it took so long. What was the second question again?
Second question was, one of the certifications you mentioned is for a HUB zone.
The HUB zone is actually for underutilized and underrepresented areas that within a geographical area where you're located. So if you go to their website, it's actually going to show that depending on where you what area you're at, that neighborhood is underutilized as far as the Federal Bureau is concerned. So you can have various different zip codes, various different areas within a zip code that are underutilized. The core is that with that, in fact, just 8-9 months ago, the HUB zone was actually trumped all certifications, women, minority, service veterans, you name it, they were it. If you're located in a HUB zone, you're a ticket. Now, HUB zone is not only where your primary office is located, whether it's underutilized as far as the space goes, it's also the makeup of your employees. You have to have, I believe the latest quote is one-third of all your employees have to reside and live their primary residence in a HUB zone area. So that's very important. So that's what HUB zone is all about. And to have that as another toolkit is very huge. But that's all about geographic. That's not about women-owned. And then you've got the SBA where you go into another program that they have out there. So it's not a certification, but these are all things that have guidelines that you really need to know. And that's what NAWRB's focal point is that wealth of information is on staff, and that's what Kate and his team, because he's executive director, again, that's what they stay up to date and know everything. So if I don't know everything perfectly, I go to Kate and say, what's happening today? What happened with the update 2 weeks ago? What do we got going? He listens to all the conferences and what's going on online with all the different things that are happening in D.C. on a regular basis.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great questions, Adriana. And I just want to get some clarification, though. Desiree, in addition to the designation for the National Association of Women REO Brokerages, what would be one other designation? Because you mentioned there's so many. And you know, perhaps the goal of an agent listening right now would be just to get, you know, get yours and maybe get one more. What would that designation be?
It would be the federal government.
The federal government.
It would be the CCR, the DUNS, and the ORCA. It's totally free. You set it up, and that's one of the beauties of NAWRB. We show you how to do it. We walk you step by step of how to get it done. We can't do it for you.
Right.
But we can get it and show you exactly how to do it, because a lot of the times, and this is very, very important, not just for women business owners, 90% of all broker registrations and all avenues you have connected with your clients are not accurate. You
right.
might have a new cell phone. You might have a new address. You might be lacking a certification you just got. All those different things are very, very important. So we walk you through step by step. We have guidelines on how to do it, if you want to do it remotely, whatever, on how to get your CCNR and done. A lot of people never do the last most important product, which is the ORCA. The ORCA is actually a profile that gets your resume up on a website so the federal government can actually see that you're out there and what you compose on, because they use that registry to determine on what kind of contracting capabilities that they have out there, whether it be source of thought, whether it be RFIs, whether it be RFPs, so they can actually go out there and do it. And the whole focal point of NAWRB and training everyone is NAWRB actually on its own actually goes after and bids on these federal contracts and actually goes out there and tries to communicate with them on saying, hey, we have this organization, we can bring your supply diversity from 2% to 5% instantaneously, because we have 100%, 51% are women-owned businesses in this organization, bar none. We don't allow anyone else to join unless you're a woman business owner organization in the membership.
Well,
one last question,
sure.
If you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Desiree, can you be more specific as to what CCIR and ORCA means or stand for?
It could take a long time. Do me a favor. I'll be happy to. If you go to our website, we can actually explain it to you. But that's the federal government, how they regulate every single company that wants to do business is how they go out there and they put it out there. So the CCRN is done has to get an entity number, and then you go out there and it cross-correlates with how they pick it up with the industry. And there's a couple hundred thousand companies around there. It's huge.
Huge, yeah. CCR actually stands for Central Contracting Registry. So it's sort of the catalog that the government shops from when they want a vendor. So they will only engage a business that is registered there. DUNS is a number. It's the first step. You get a number for your business. You then register that in CCR as a contractor or subcontractor, you can think of it that way, who wants to do business with the federal government. ORCA stands for your Online Representations and Certifications Administration. So that is where you complete your full profile of your business, and you can put all of your certifications and how you represent your business to the federal government, such as a woman-owned business or a minority-owned or a minority woman-owned business, and all of the specialty certifications that a lot of REO brokers and agents have in terms of short sale, REO,
green
property, green, residential, all of those.
Okay,
well,
thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. You are truly the expert. You know, when I hear this information, folks, the first thing that comes to mind is knowledge is power. And the power is now. So we need to get the knowledge now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. You need to go to their website. You need to plug into this organization and other organizations and get the knowledge. There's just no reason not to maximize the opportunities out there when the only thing you need is knowledge. Great question, Adriana. Sandra Johnson, what's your question for Desiree?
Well, for my question is, can you join, Desiree, your organization without being a broker? Let's say I'm in the process of getting my broker's license. I haven't tested yet, but I'm working on getting it. Would I still be able to join your business, or is it absolutely just for brokers only?
The organization itself, as being a member of NAWRB, you have to be a women-owned business to join.
Okay.
But that's why we started the program last week for women with access. We have, to be honest, 2.5 years ago when the organization started, the very first day it was launched, we had 200 agents literally just come out of the woodwork at the booth and say, we want to join.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we had to turn everyone away but six. Because it's strictly for women business owners. But the idea is that we started the program last week for women with access. And women with access is what you can join. Women with access means that you're not going to be a member, but you're going to have access to everything we're doing. So if you need Cade's resources or his team, how that you can evolve to become your own broker, how you can become a broker associate and then want to go to the next thing and become your own women business owner, whether it be a real estate company or attorney or escrow or title contractor. The core is that this keeps you in tune with what's going on. You get access to our emails, you get access to our webinars, you get access to all the different information we post, so you can then educate yourself and say what the benefits of becoming a woman business owner and what you have to do to become and register with all the different entities and certifications that are out there. And that's real important. So, yes, there is that out there. It's $195. It's minuscule. That's per year. There are no monthly fees, just for women in access. Right now, NAWRB is running a special for the summer months. For $995 as a woman business owner, remember that's the entire company joins. It's not just an agent that joins. And those then get membership. Those members then get put into our priority pool based on the date of when they join. It's based on when the properties roll out for outsourcing, for information, all that kind of stuff. They get based on the date they actually join the organization and keep its status current and also have all your information. Because this is a working organization. This is not about, hey, I'm a member, thank you very much. You've got to apply your documents. You've got to get your certification into the organization. Otherwise, you're not fully engaged with an organization. And then we also have broker board meetings and engaging conversations. So what we know, any idea that you might have in your area, any idea that Rochelle might have in Florida versus Texas versus everything, we all sit there and come together and say this is what is coming because we want to evolve and grow. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We want to say what you've been doing in your industry. If you've been into PR work, telemarketing, or whatever, and you bring another niche to the real estate sector, we want to hear about it. We want to hear what engaging. See, people don't understand. I spent almost 18 years as a senior systems analyst in the computer technology field. I dealt with engineers. I dealt with a male-dominant field before, that as a woman being the only person in the entire company besides the secretaries, I was 18 and everyone else was 60 in the environment that I worked in as an engineer.
Wow.
So with that being said, I knew how to deal with the men mentality, no disrespect, Eric, versus then out of the woman. But you got four daughters and a wife, so you're there. But, you know, you bring to that table something you had from another life, from another chapter before you got into the real estate market. So we want to hear about it because we want to grow. We want to make everyone better. So that's why we said, instead of just saying, hey, when you get your broker's license, come back to us, we said, you know what, we've got to have some channel. But we couldn't break the charter of any WRB because the charter is 100% women-owned businesses, period, paragraph, across the floor for women in default services. So we opened it up to women with access, which means you're not a member, but you have access to what we're doing.
Great, great. I'll definitely join that.
Well, Sandra, you feel motivated now? Are you going to go take that test?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready now.
Fantastic.
Start studying tomorrow.
Okay. Sandra, you have any other questions?
I've got a ton, but I would like to, if it's possible, Desiree, to maybe call you later, and there's a couple of, like, REO questions I'd like to ask, but I don't want to fill up the time with
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Like I said, after 6 o'clock in the evenings and the weekdays, I got a lot more time to talk. And on weekends, I'm here quite often. I'm in the office probably about 18 hours a day. So absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra. Wow. Great question. Joanna Ruiz, your question for Desiree.
Well, thank you once again, Eric, for having me on the teleconference call. In reality, I don't have any questions. Everything was so thorough. She was very thorough on the topic of occupant relations. But what I am going to implement, and I think the idea across the board, is engaging with the occupant so that we have some personalization. And I know that we do need to work on knowing our occupants, having them to trust us and liking us. And basically, thank you for having me on this call.
Well, Joanna, thank you for being on the call. And I think, too, that was a great point. This is really fundamental to all sales. You're selling yourself. And how do you sell anybody on anything? How do you lead anybody to do anything unless you establish a rapport, a relationship? They got to like you. And I think that was a great point, Desiree, I think hopefully helpful to a lot of agents who are listening to this on the call. Well, we have no questions on the line. We have quite a few callers, and I think the reason for that is because you all have been so fantastic, my VIP hosts, and asking great questions. Didn't they do a good job, Desiree?
Yes, they did a great job. Thank you very much for having us, and the questions were definitely engaging. I welcome you to call me, like I said, in the evenings or weekends. We're always here. Email's great. If you want to just email me at Desiree. Or Desiree at newrb.com. That would be great. Again, that's Desiree, D-E-S-I-R-E-E, at newrb.com. And send me over your question and any comments you might have. Like I said, this is an interactive building relationship, where that's what we're about, and we'd love to engage with you.
Well, folks, we are way past the time. I think I'm just going to change my scheduled time from 10:30 to 12:30 so that I can set the right expectations. For those of you who've been on thinking we were going to be done at 11:30 and you're late, or if you're still on the line, it's because it's been really good information. Thank you so much, Desiree, for being on the call today. I want to just share a few great announcements, and then we're going to let you all go. In addition to being the host of this teleconference, I'm also the president of the Orange County Realtors, and you can check out our website at ocareb.org. And July 15th, Pamela Rosenhaus with Freddie Mac is coming to the Orange County Realtors. That's July 15th at 9 o'clock in the morning at National University. You want to check out the Freddie Mac Roadshow. So please join us. And it is free for members. In fact, we're making it free for everybody, except for those who show up at the door who didn't register online, where you're going to have to pay. But if you register online for the event, it is absolutely free. The Freddie Mac Roadshow with Pamela Rosenhaus. And if you're thinking about working with Freddie Mac, you need to be at that event. National University, 3390 Harbor Boulevard, Costa Mesa, California. And then we're having our golf tournament July 21st at the Tribuco Golf Club. It's going to be July 21st, 8:15 a.m. Really looking forward to that. Great networking, even education on short sales. So another wonderful opportunity for us to get together and to support one another, to learn more, and to network. So those are the events coming up with the Orange County Association of Real Estate Brokers, also known as the Orange County Realtors. I want to encourage you to join the organization. Check out our state chapter at careb.org and our national organization at nareb, as in boy, .com. Two great organizations doing wonderful things for the real estate community. Well, folks, this has been another wrap of the Powers Now teleconference. I love this show. I love this business. I love the people that come on each and every week and just drop some serious knowledge to help us grow our businesses, to be more successful, to leverage all the wonderful opportunities out there. We need more Desiree Patinos in the world that are reaching out to people, empowering women, and helping them to make things happen and to get their share of the wonderful opportunities that are out there. Folks, please tune in next week, or you will be disappointed not to talk to Marty Rodriguez. She is a veteran, number one team in the Century 21 system, doing it big time, and has been through every conceivable market you can think about. The woman has had her challenges and her victories. She's been in the valleys and the mountaintops, and man, does she have a story. And if you don't be with us next week, I promise you, you're going to be disappointed. Well, again, my name is Eric Frazier, host of The Power Is Now. Go to our Facebook site at www.thepowerisnow.com and link up with us. Link up with me with LinkedIn, Eric Frazier LinkedIn, and also at MySpace and Twitter. Let's communicate and stay in contact with one another, because together we can do a lot of things. We can support one another, providing information and sharing information. Well, this call is being recorded and will be available for listening on blogtalkradio.com/thepowerisnow. It will be available within 5 minutes as we end this call, so you can listen to it. And when you go to listen to it, please like on it on Facebook and share it out to all your friends and family and neighbors who are in the business. Remember, folks, the power is now. We are at our best, and we maximize our success when we act now. Thank you for joining the call. See you next week at The Power Is Now. Have an awesome day.